You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. God bless you. Happy Thursday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're tuning into God's frequency here today. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. Fasten in your safety belt here today. We're going to hear a word today. We're going to hear a lot of words from the Lord. It's going to come out of the book of 2 John, and this sermon is entitled The Doctrine of Christ, where John writes, whoever does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who does abide has both Father and Son. This is where we're going to be here today. What is the doctrine of Christ? Show me what it is so that I can abide under it. This is where we're going to be here today and tomorrow. I invite you guys to church this weekend. My sermon this weekend is entitled The Jesus Files. We have some baptisms to start the service, and then we'll be looking at, in the news, there's this Mr. Epstein and his files. Well, this week we're going to look at Jesus and his files. He has a secret list of sinners as well. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. If you can't join us in person, you can follow along online. The sermon will be uploaded on our YouTube page, Island Community Church. The service is broadcast live on Facebook, same name. Service starts at 10:30. You are invited. We would love to see you in person at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Island Community Church. Okay, this is the doctrine of Christ. We're in the book of 2 John. I think we're going to pick it up here in verse 7.
The doctrine of Christ, or another title could be, deny the supernatural, end up in hellfire. We are in 2 John. There's only one chapter. You know, I could have just preached just this sermon for just the entire service here today. It's just one of those sermons. It's the most important thing the Lord's ever given me. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you know? What do you believe? We're going to find out here today that the consequences for not believing this. You see, there's more to what you believe about the Son of God, perhaps, than you realize. Now, let's read these first 9 verses. Let's pick it up right here from the top. The elder, Presbyteros, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. Now, count how many times you're going to hear him say the word truth in these first couple of verses. To the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but all those who have known the truth. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I think that's 4 right there, isn't it? I greatly rejoice that I have found some of your children walking in truth. There's 5 times he has said this word. Seems like he's hung up on truth, isn't he? I'll word that right. It seems like truth is very, very important to him. So I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we have received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk in his commandments. All right, we've looked at five chapters of this. See, he's just picking up where we left off, right? Talking about love. This is love, verse 6, that we walk in his commandments, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess that Jesus Christ, or do not confess that the Messiah has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Here we go again with the Apostle John calling anyone that does not believe that Jesus, anyone who does not believe, when we get to point number 3 in a minute, anyone who does not believe that God took on a body and that the Word was made flesh, he's saying here, this person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Better yet, because the definite article is there, this person is a deceiver and the antichrist. Look how important it is what you believe. Look how many Jews fall prey to this. Oh, we don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. We know that we will all know it when he comes. You know, and you laugh and chuckle about it, and yet you do not realize the consequences. And what's happened to you in the spiritual realm for not believing this doctrine? Again, verse 7, many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, or Jesus the Messiah as coming in the flesh. Remember, Christ is not his last name. Then he says, look to yourselves, so that we do not lose those things we've worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Now, verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So, wow, what does this mean? Am I unwittingly guilty of this? Here it is again now from an easier to understand translation of the Bible. Verse 9. Anyone who disregards the teaching, or anyone who disregards this teaching, has no relationship with God. Don't kid yourself. What you believe about Jesus is important. This verse continues. Anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. So this Greek word for transgress means to disregard, same as this newer translation reads. Everyone who disregards this teaching about Christ does not have God, or at the least, he doesn't have a relationship with him. How could you? You might have a one-sided relationship with God, but if you believe his Son was a sinner, then you don't have anything. And don't even bother singing the songs here this morning. Because if you're right, then you're wrong. If you don't believe he died on the cross, if you don't believe that he died and rose again from the dead, not only do you not have a relationship with God, but you're not a Christian. Because we're about to see believing in the resurrection is part of the Christian faith, and it's required of you. You've got to believe in the supernatural. You have to believe it. You must believe that after you die, you will live on. You must not deny the supernatural. So with that knowledge, the next logical question would be, what then is the doctrine of Christ? And I'm glad that you asked that question here this morning. Sit back and relax. We're going to take an hour and look at this morning. Let's take a look at the question and the answer. Now, I've organized this into 7 points. And again, look at how important these are. Look at all the consequences that hang on the pastor to ensure he accurately teaches the doctrine of Christ. Because look at the end result if you don't believe. You don't have God, or at least you don't have a relationship with God. Why would you even be here if you don't have or seek a relationship with God? And that's going to come through having the proper understanding of who Jesus is. Which is why every year I preach at least some version of this sermon that the Lord gave me over 20 years ago. Okay, here we go. Starting from the top. Number one. Now, I'll give you all seven. Thank you to Carol, who's put them up here now while you guys are writing. I'm going to give you all seven and then book, chapter, and verse where it is in the Bible. Number one, Jesus was born of a virgin. Now, if you've already memorized these, I would say thank you. That's one more crown for me that I will lay at his feet. That you guys have memorized this list for all of you. Oh, here goes Pastor again. You know, for nigh on 10 years, I've heard this. Fine with me. Then you know all seven of these then. Then when some fool knocks on your door and says, oh, Jesus never said he was God, you guys will be grabbing this one here to crown these guys that try to deceive you. Or when someone knocks on your door and say, oh, he wasn't born of a virgin, don't believe. You guys are going to be loaded for bear. No one expects you to have an answer to these inquiries. They expect you to be oblivious to the truth like most Christians are. You say, well, hold on a minute here. Let me find my pastor's business card. Call him. That's not the answer. Jesus was born of a virgin, Matthew 1:21. She will bring forth a son. You will call his name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the Parthenos, or virgin, will be with child and bear a son. And they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Why is this vitally important? Because if Christ was not born of a virgin, if the nature of Christ was not supernatural, but just everyday ordinary, then Christ was born with a sin nature the same as you. And if you believe that, then I've got some bad news for you here this morning, and that is a sinner cannot save you from your sins. This is non-negotiable. Even King David knew this. He said, in sin my mother conceived me. Psalm 51:5. Not so with Jesus. In the old covenant, they offered sacrifices year after year after year after year in anticipation of the perfect sacrifice of the Son of God, who the Bible says by one offering has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So again, born of a virgin, and yet born from above. He was the Son of Man and the Son of God. If you don't believe in this doctrine, then you don't believe in the doctrine of Christ, then according to the Bible, you don't have God. And I'll declare to you that you're not a Christian. You see, it matters what you believe. It matters. Your Savior is perfect and holy, and he's without sin. He's without sin, which leads me to point number two. Jesus the Christ, lived a sinless life. Hebrews 4:14, seeing we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Think about it. Of all the things you could make. You could make breakfast. You could make time. You could make payroll. You can make bread. You can make atonement. You can make amends. You can make good. But the Lord Jesus was made sin. How ugly is that? Jesus Christ knew no sin. Funny, I just read in the devotional this morning from this Days of Praise. Even the judge, Pontius Pilate, declared it. He says, I can find no sin in this man. Even the executioner declared it. He says, this is a righteous man. He's never sinned. If he had sinned, then his sacrifice was worthless. His blood was as tainted as yours and mine. And again, a sinner cannot atone for your sins. I can't die for your sins. Only the perfect sacrifice. Only a God with blood. Only the God with blood. Okay, number three. God took a body. Perhaps my favorite on this list. God took a body, meaning the man, Christ Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago, was God. Is God. Remember, where is that? It's not up there. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Who, existing in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ has always is always existing as God. So, Philippians 2, here it is right here in my notes. I'm speaking too fast. Being found in appearance as a man, I'm getting the point, God took a body. Philippians 2:8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Or this, it says the word, this is John 1:14, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, so there's two proofs of this. My favorite one here is 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, without controversy, meaning this is not even up for discussion. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. God took a body. Why is this so important? Well, the charismatics, I mean the Gnostics of the first century, didn't believe that God took on human flesh. Listen to what the Bible says about God taking a body. This is 1 John. It says, by this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming. Now, that's the second Bible references that says you are infected with the spirit of Antichrist if you don't believe that the Son of God is God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. But again, look at that. Every spirit that does not, every spirit, let's change that to God took a body. Every spirit that confesses that God took a body is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that God took a body is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming because the Apostle Paul wrote 30 years earlier that it was coming, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. Not an enviable position, what do you think, to be there? You see, what you believe is vitally important. True Christianity is not a cafeteria-style faith. There's no pushing your tray down the aisle, saying, oh, I'll take a little bit of this, little bit of that. Imagine all the spiritual carbs we would have on our little tray, right? Oh, I'll take a, here you are pushing your cart. I'll take a little bit of love. I'll take a whole lot of forgiveness. Load that onto my plate, right? I'll take some joy. But I ain't submitting. You see, I'm dieting this week from lordship. I'm going to treat it like broccoli and just keep it off my tray, you see. It doesn't work that way. Do you see now how perilous this position is for the millions of Jews who believe this way or for people who reject the Messiah? See, you need to know what you believe about Jesus Christ because it's important. Believe the wrong thing about Jesus, and before you know it, you've got this spirit of Antichrist. Not where you want to be. The solution to all of this is just believe God at His word. How many people in this church believe God at His word? Now, if this was football season, I'd say, all right, everybody go home. But it's not, so I can keep you later. What you don't believe can lead to catastrophic consequences. All right, back to point number three. God took a body. Why? Why did God take a body? Answer, Hebrews 5:8. Though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, here's the answer here, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's the answer. And this, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. Meaning, I'll take you, 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 I'll take you, I'll take you, and I'm going to reconcile you by his blood. And by you receiving that, God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, comma, not imputing their trespasses to them. Praise God this morning that the Bible says that God has amnesia with your sins. Isn't that good news? Isaiah 53. Again, why did he take a body? The Bible says there, he wrote 700 years before this happened. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And it says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is why he did this. Someone had to pay the price to reconcile you and him back together. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Someone has to die. And not only that, his sacrifice has to be perfect. Has to be perfect. So the Lord Jesus took a body so that God could place all the sins of mankind since Adam and Eve on his son. On his body while he hung on the cross and bled and died. Again, it says he was made to be sin. Jesus Christ took on a body so he could atone for your sins and pay your penalty. For you personally, remember, the wages of sin is death. Your sins, if left unattended, carries a death sentence. These are the doctrines of Christ. All right, point number four. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Again, non-negotiable. Mark 3:11. Unclean spirits, when they saw him, they fell down before him and they cried out, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Catch this. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, you can't get that unless he gives it to you. And if you don't believe that, you're not Christian if you don't believe that. If you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, you're not Christian. At least you weren't until today. If you believe that, you receive him. You change it today. Anything less is demonic. He's not the son of another. He's the Son of God. Therefore, he is God. Thomas said to him in John 20, 28, he said, My Lord and my God. And you have to know it and believe it like Peter did, because that knowledge again comes from above. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Again, get your theology from this book, not from the Discovery Channel or Nat Geo on the TV, which you could turn on any given day and watch In Search of Jesus' Bones. Well, you're not going to find his bones, because no grave's got him in it. Number five. Jesus Christ died on the cross. John 19, 30. Therefore, when the Lord received sour wine, he said, Tetelestai. That is, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Certainly non-negotiable. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He said it, or better yet, he cried out even, It is finished. That word tetelestai, it's in the perfect tense, meaning it's something that happened in the past that you still feel the effects of in the future and forever. It is finished. That is, the Lord Jesus has taken your sins and he's written upon them tetelestai. It means paid in full. That was what they would give people after they paid off their mortgage. They get this Greek stamp on it, it said, Tetelestai. It's all done. The debt's paid. And the debt was your sin. What he paid for it with was his own blood.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, today's question comes from Matthew 12, verses 6 to 8, where Jesus makes a couple of statements that would have offended most of his Jewish audience. He tells the Pharisees that, quote, something greater than the temple is here. And he said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And John, what was so offensive to those Jewish religious leaders about Jesus' declaration that he was, and still is, greater than the temple and Lord of the Sabbath?
Well, simply stated, saying you're greater than the temple is equivalent to claiming to be God. And Jesus did this all the time. He claimed to be God continually. The Pharisees understood that. They even said, He makes himself equal with God. There are critics who say, well, Jesus never did claim to be God. Well, he certainly did, and even his most violent enemies understood that he was making that claim, which, by the way, he completely supported by his works, by his miracles, his power over demons, disease, death, and nature. When he says that he is Lord of the Sabbath, that is another way to declare himself God, because it was God who was Lord.